This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Lee Cicotti is on the line right now. Not only is the new single Set Me Free out with the video, but Versatile, the new record, comes out May 21st.
Well, I love the new single. It's this. Here's a clip of it. Those that we were with. What was the other clip I really liked? Was it Let the Chaos Ring?
Hailing from Grand Rapids, Michigan, they have consistently proven themselves to be one of the most electrifying live bands in rock and roll. This is Pop Evil.
Released a new single, Set Me Free, from their upcoming new album, Versatile, due out this May. Please welcome Pop Evil frontman and longtime friend of the show, Lee Cicotti.
Mr. Cicotti, how are you?
Good, man. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. A long time. I'm hoping this, we're through the worst of it, and we're getting ready to see some goddamn live music soon.
You know what? I'm just living my best post-concert COVID life, right?
That's yeah. I heard your eye was giving you some trouble. Jake was telling me, oh, that sucks. Iritis?
Yeah, I had a breakout. Well, first we were going to go do a vacay, because we've been all hibernating forever. I got tons of family with underlying health conditions. So finally, we were able to get the vaccine. We're lucky. A few weeks back, so we're like, you know, it might be safe. Let's just get out. I can't do the house anymore. I can't just sit still. It's going nuts. So we were going to go out west. I was doing some writing, hanging out. And my eye was red when we left. And I'm like, oh, no big deal. Pink eye or something. Big deal. You know, and then it just kept getting worse and worse. I couldn't see out of it. I'm back and forth. And, you know, I think Jake had hit me up. Like, I was like, you know, talking to managers. They had other interviews coming for me. I'm like, yeah, no big deal. I'll do them all. No problem. And then I just had to, I started, my vacation turned into hospital after emergency room.
Oh.
I was like, okay, this isn't good. And, you know, reading up on iritis and uveitis, if you don't catch it early, you know, possible blindness.
Yeah, you can lose your eye.
You can get in some trouble. So it turned pretty serious quick. And, you know, when you're going to different doctors, you never really get straight answers. So, you know, finally, literally, I think was just a couple of days ago, I got home and my doctors took me in immediately. He's like, oh, dude, we got to get you. They didn't even put you on this or that. And I'm like, no, dude. So it's been a long couple of weeks for me. But you know what? I can see out of one eye and blurry in the right eye. I'll take it.
Right. Dude, I'm telling you, it's scary stuff. But they feel like they have a grip. You're taking the right medicine, and they feel like you're going to clear up now.
Yeah. Hopefully, I got an appointment again early at noon today. So, you know, real-life problems, right? Real-life problems.
Here's my much...
I just feel grateful. I just feel grateful I'm not on the tour bus at the moment, right?
Right. Oh, Christ. Yeah. Oh, you'd have to wear a pirate patch.
Dude.
Which, you're swarthy. You're a swarthy kind of fella, man. You look good in that business.
Well, you know, you got to find your look in every situation.
Dude, let me tell you my much less serious situation. I've never had pink eye before, and I got this last year, and I'm like, God damn. And I had to go help a buddy with do some concrete work. And there's about six of my friends. And I walk up. I go, hey, just so you know, I had to get this medicine. I got pink eye. And all of a sudden, everybody goes, oh, you've been eating ass. I go, what are you talking about? And they're like, you get that from eating ass. And I go, I've not been eating any ass. And this goes on for an hour. I have to look it up. I'm like, oh, my God, you get it from ass. And you know what it was? This little dog, Lulu, sleeps on my pillow all the time. And then I caught her scooching on my pillow with her butt.
I was going to say, man, because we always had the joke growing up as kids, like, if you got pink eye, someone farted in your face.
Yeah, yeah, dude, that's
like,
it.
You know what I mean? So that makes sense. But the dog there,
yeah,
tail facing your way, you know?
What
and it's painful, man. You get something in the eye, man. It throws your whole, like, equilibrium off. You're all messed up.
Yeah, well, it's not as serious as yours, man. But
Right. But still, you know, hey, if your eye's ever red, I feel your pain. Whoever's listening.
Man, it's good to hear all the optimism in your voice, because this album is really cool.
Yeah,
it's such a sound, man.
You know, I'm excited. You know, I just feel blessed. Like I said, we got ready to finish this record. I think it was top of last year. You know, and we did this record a little different, you know, because like, I always feel like what's missing on albums is that excitement of a demo. You know, like, John, it'd be just like something you and me would do. I'd see you and Casey there, and we'd be hanging. I'd be like, dude, check this new stuff I'm working on, or the band's working on. And you'd be like, oh, my gosh, let me hear it. And you'd like, you know, a couple things. You'd like, oh, my gosh, I like that, I like that, I like that. And then we go redo the album with a different producer. We have to re-record all that excitement and energy. And you hear it on the album, you're like, I still like the demo better. You know what I mean? That's
tough.
My ultimate curse. So it was like, how do we prevent that? And to do that, I was like, I'm done with one producer all the way through if I can help it. Wherever the energy was when we demoed these songs, that's where we wanted to stay and live in that space and bring the band or whoever we needed to that environment and then build on what was already great about that first, like that first reason you loved that demo. So it was just awesome to kind of do something a little differently like that. And it just kept it interesting rather than, you know, even though it's super cool to go, I mean, think last album, we went to Nashville and then we recorded it. And it's painstakingly brutal, but awesome at the same time. It was just refreshing to just kind of get new energy. And you know, here we're recording three or four songs and we're going to a different place, recording through four and, you know, putting all that together and then building this. And hence the name Versatile, you know, there's so much that was needed to kind of come together for us to put this in.
Oh.
And then, you know, then the shutdown came.
That's it. And that, I think that's inspiration for so much frustration, isolation, like all of these feelings that you can pull out of this awful year. We lost friends. We saw the world tear itself apart. We saw the divisiveness. We were isolated in our own weird little homes. You know, the only reprieve you had was to wander by yourself outside in the sunshine.
Yeah.
And, you know, the truth is happiness is not the greatest thing for songwriting. And what is some heartache and some pain and some anger and some frustration is, you know, all the great records are born from those things.
Absolutely. You know, and it's interesting, you know, now that the album's coming out, I'm doing a lot of press with, you know, what these songs mean. And I'm like, they completely mean totally something different. And it's crazy how these songs were all written before COVID. Now that COVID's kind of come, they make even more sense to what we're going through now. So it's weird how you, in some ways, write about the future. You know, insane ways that the correlation is chilling. But you know, we're definitely excited and feel blessed now that it's finally coming out.
Well,
obviously,
you know,
when we put this, oh, go ahead.
The thing I love about it is as I'm hearing it unfold, is you guys never rest on the last album. The way the last album sounds, it always sounds like Pop Evil, but you're never afraid to push further, wider, new influences, new sounds, new production, just the concept of everything. And that, to me, is the key to any band. Mel, it makes you always feel like you're listening to a new, young band.
No, you're exactly right. You gotta just always try. And it's funny, it's such a competitive business, but the biggest competition comes with yourself. You always want to try to outdo your last record or your old catalog. You just want to build that legacy as best you can and leave something to hopefully help people and bring a positive vibe to people through your music. So that's always been the Pop Evil way.
Well, and I'm telling you, I feel like Davey is a weird mad scientist. Like, I'll hear some bizarre guitar thing and I'm like, what is he doing in there? Like, I just feel like he's just eating mushrooms and living in a small room with a guitar and a million amps.
That's exactly, Dave. You hit it on the head. How did you know?
Yeah, I mean,
no, but he's everyone's stepping up, man. I mean, we've gotten closer. I mean, I think the arguments and fights through the years have just kind of allowed us to just kind of respect each other in a different way, that we all want to be here. We all want the same kinds of things. And we've kind of accepted each other for our differences to kind of get stronger. And this album, for sure, trying things a little different. Like that old analogy that we're all in the room at the same exact time and everyone's contributing the exact same amount. I mean, that stuff just is ridiculous. You know, like everyone understands that every song's different and some songs require this band member differently than the other. And everyone gets it. Everyone wants it, plays the role. Everyone understands the importance of the team and what's best for the band and what's best for the song. So it's just, you know, I got a great group of people that are surrounded the band, especially the band members. They're all just such pros. And it's just nice to finally, you know, and I think this COVID experience made us miss each other, right? So I saw
Dave
actually yesterday for the first time in a few weeks. And he's just, first thing, we had an interview to do, and he's just giving me a hug. He's like, dude, just forget all this. Give me a hug, man. How you been? When are we golfing? I'm like, Dave, let's go golf tomorrow. Once I can see, I'll go golf with you. But it's just, I think there's an excitement that hopefully we see from a lot of bands. You know, as we get out there, you just saw the things maybe we took for granted, not even knowing, you know, just to share that experience again and hear that roar, the audience, or even smell the dirtiness of the venue when you load in.
Yes.
In the morning. You know, it's just all that stuff you miss, and can't wait to get back to it.
Oh, dude, I think everybody feels that way. I mean, we all saw a world with no music in it, with no live music whatsoever. We saw it, man.
Right.
The year that wasn't, in the history of modern times, you can't think of that. When were we not allowed to go listen to music? And I regret every Wednesday night band I missed because I thought it's a work night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully that continues. You know, hopefully there's going to be a resurgence of people being like, oh, I can see them next time around, you know, and we really get those people. I mean, we're going to need it. You know, the music business and community and these local venues, these bands that are coming through, they're going to need all the help and the support they can to get back, because there's going to be a lot of people hurting, you know, promoters not wanting to take the risk and putting that upfront money to the band, especially the up-and-coming bands. I mean, that's where it's really going to hurt, the bands that don't have that excess money to get into these cities and are risking a lot to get there. It's going to be interesting how it unfolds, but hopefully, you know, the fans come out, like, which I feel they will. They're going to come out for us and really help push it and, you know, start a different kind of positive movement. Man, I'm really excited to see that.
I also think that bands have had a time to sit back and really plot, like, what they want to do, like, really imagine what they want to be, how they want to look, the show they want to do. Because you think about it, you're on the never-ending cycle, right? You're like, tour, album, tour, album. They never let up on you. That machine is rolling. And is there anything good? There was definitely time to write. There was inspiration that was driving it. And now you had some time to breathe for a second and really miss it. I can't wait to hear that PA fire up again.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think the energy from bands is going to be, if anything else, I mean, the rest. I mean, man, you think about how long we've been going. I've been going since I was probably 15 years old.
Yep.
You know, so it's just, that's the longest break we've ever had. I mean, my voice better feel good. I mean, I've been able to not sing for a year and just really get really tuned up to hit those first concerts with full energy. You know,
yeah.
So like you're right, pinpoint pinpoint what we want to do, put the best into the live show you can or that tour experience, and really take it up to another level.
Yeah, he, listen, we got to get our boy Matt back on the road before he disappears into the mountains somewhere into a.
I'm telling you, I know I haven't seen. He's not. He's a little bit further away from me. He moved a bit away, so he's. I haven't seen Matt in a bit either, man. I miss. And Haley's even further. You know, she's out in the UK, so it's going to be great to get the band back together. So
it really will
get it back together. Let's go,
dude! I cannot wait to hear the rest of this. And it's so weird because I was nerding out when you were talking about producers and who you want to work on the album with you. And I have this it's a weird thought, man. But I'm super, super fan of Butch Walker. I think he has some incredible ideas and he's written some great stuff.
Butch.
Oh, dude,
he is, man. What a songwriter.
Yeah, and what a interesting producer. His production, man. Like next time you guys, I hope you guys get to meet someday because he is. A brother from another mother. He's just an incredibly genuine guy.
It'd be an honor. I'd love to. That's a good idea, man. Do a couple songs with Butch. That'd be great.
Yeah. No, I think it'd be fun. I think you guys have a very, very similar songwriting pop sensibility that just, you know, that great Cheap Trick, but with a modern taste to it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Pop Evil in 21 into 22, but Versatile comes out. Now, the release date on it is May 21st. How many songs can you download right now? I've lost track now. Is it three?
I think you can get four.
Four
right now.
Yeah.
There's 12 songs on the record, and we've released it now. It's a different era, so I think we're only selling it at Target. Target's come in and been super supportive, and we're doing the exclusive with them.
Excellent.
And it's a double disc, Johnny. You get the new album, and you get the double disc is all our number one records.
See,
so you get all the hit. You get another disc, including all our number one records. So it's super cool what they're doing, and it's another opportunity for fans who still believe in physical product to get something a little out of the ordinary.
That's what I was going to say.
Like artwork, this is by far the best artwork on any Pop Evil record. It is insane. We had our boy from Brazil. This guy is super talented. He come in and just bring, again, versatile. Just bringing people from around the world to just make this project and, you know, see the band's vision come to fruition. It's super cool. So you definitely want to check that out. 21.
Now, tell me, who ends up with your artwork? All the albums. Have you ever managed to get the original?
I guess I probably could. I guess I haven't. It's probably in the art. Art guys still have it. It's such a digital era, too. I'm like, I don't know where I put it. I have so much Pop Evil stuff going on, but I need to do that. I need to try to
tell you a story.
Artwork.
I always ask Jesse.
Short, right?
I'd always ask Jesse from Jackal for the first album cover, the dogs, you know, in the studio. And I go, do you ever, like, what happened to that? And he goes, oh, man, they offered it to me, but the artist was really expensive. And he goes, I just couldn't, you know, I had a new baby. And so over the years, it bothered me that, and I couldn't find out who it was because it's never even listed on it. So it's a guy, and he kept saying it's a French guy, Jean-Luc Potivin. So I tracked this guy down. It took years. Really, it's the most weird story. I sent him a ton of emails. He finally responds to me. He's not even in the country. He gets back to Los Angeles. He's an incredibly sweet man, and he's done mostly artwork for the Smithsonian and paintings and some magazines, and there was a real short period where he worked with record labels, and sure enough, he got his guy to go to the warehouse, and I purchased it and surprised Jesse with it.
How cool is that,
yeah,
man?
It
How
was fun.
How cool is that?
Really fun.
That is awesome. Well, you know what? The digital people now, they just do it on computer. I don't think those days now where they actually get on a piece of paper and draw the art,
right.
I think it's different, right? They draw it in their computer programs and do it all. That doesn't mean they don't sketch it and scan it in. That's a good question. I should ask about it.
Yeah, man, because I'm such a weirdo for memorabilia. Like, I
collect.
No,
you're great.
It's
super cool with that.
I love that stuff. That's, man, you know what else this year I got weird about? I don't know if you did. I started buying speakers. And so everything from like KRKs,
really?
Because I wanted to hear that kind of KRK studio monitor sound, and then the clips, like sixes. And then now I my poor girlfriend, I'm like, now listen to this. This was done by Ted Templeman. Boof. And then you hit that one. Now on the KRKs with the new, you know, the new Metallica. Oh, it's so ridiculous.
You'll be interested with mine. I had a COVID find as well. Like, you got into speakers a little bit. Well, I had a flood in one of my storage units, so I went back in and tried to clean some of it out, and I knew I had some old baseball cards from back in the day.
Awesome.
Like, I was a big-time collector as a kid, you know, basketball, really, you know, and I knew I had some Jordan rookies. So I went back in and found them. I'm like, if I don't go do this stuff now, then I'm going to, you know, this stuff's going to all just be wasted, and all the money I might have from when I was a kid. So I found I had four or five Michael Jordan rookies, the Duff and Cigarettes. I had all this insane stuff, like four or five Jerry Rice rookies, four or five Joe Montana. So it was awesome to kind of go back. I remember calling the management. They're like, wait a minute, so you actually had this stuff when you were a kid? I was like, dude, that's all I did was collect.
God, what is that worth?
I just wanted to be a sport. So it was super. And then, of course, the sports card boom has hit since COVID, you know, so it was kind of cool to get back into that. With all the kids and nieces and nephews around my family, try to get them into it a little more and be like, you understand, you guys can have some money here if you guys start being a little more serious about collecting.
Oh, dude.
So, you know, that was my kind of COVID find.
Have you seen those super packs? That I didn't even know these existed, and where it costs, like, I don't know, what is it, $10,000 for a pack or something, and you open it in front of the people. Some guy got a $75,000 card the other day.
Isn't that crazy, man?
Yeah.
Like, it's just insane. It's just insane what's going on with sports cards. Now, I can't even understand it, but it's been fun to kind of just,
sure.
I just like the nostalgia. It just reminds me when I was a kid, you know what I mean, and dreaming.
Yeah, man. Well,
so
that's,
it's been cool to kind of.
It touches memories. You know, that's, I've got, you know.
Exactly.
Steve, Daryl from Run DMC gave me a pair of shell tops he'd autographed from the video shoot we did.
Oh,
and,
yeah, man.
And I got an Ace Frehley Kiss boot and just crazy stuff from over the years.
That's cool, man. That is super cool. And we still have so many great stories with us and DMC there. That was just super cool. Super cool memories, man.
Dude, I'll look at him sometimes and think, I'm standing next to Daryl. I'm like, I'm talking to him. You'll get an email or a text. I'm like, I just got goosebumps. Because
crazy,
you
right?
Can't even believe that your paths could cross. And he could be so incredibly nice.
Absolutely. And that's just it, right? It doesn't even matter what genre. Or what kind of celebrity, if they're nice, if people are just nice, it just makes you want to support them. You know, absolutely agree.
No, you always root for the good guys, man. It feels, you know, you can't kill the bad guys with a ball peen hammer, it feels, most of the time. So when the good guys start to win and I see them get, you know, them rise, I'm like, oh, that's now I know the world's okay.
I totally couldn't agree more.
Versatile comes out May 21st. Check out the new single and the video for Set Me Free, man. Hey, good luck with your eyeball, my friend.
Oh, my gosh, I need it. Hope for the next interview. I'm telling you, I'm good as new.
Dude, it was a great interview.
The next day.
Yeah, I just hope your eye feels better, man. It drives me crazy when something's wrong with me.
No, it's at least it's feeling better, but it's still swollen a little bit. What are you going to do, right? At least I don't got to stress about a show anytime soon. So just try to, again, just trying to get the health right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't.
We're getting older, right?
Yeah. You take care, my friend. Hold on. Stay there. Love you, man. Come on. What a great guy. Lee Kakata. Dude, he's just smart enough. He'd look good with a pirate patch.
Yes, he would.
You got the dark hair?
Yes, he would.
Yep. I get a pirate's patch and people are like OSHA violation. You know what I mean?